Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
This is Low Moon Uprising, and the story continues.
So this is Low Moon Uprising, September 7th, 2025. It is the first session in the month of September. God willing, we'll be back in 2 weeks. But first, we have to get through the next 4 or 5 hours of causing all kinds of havoc. Or maybe not, considering it just may be shopping and training if we turn down all of the opportunities that present themselves to stir up other trouble. Here's a brief devotional. Sorry, I grabbed the wrong one. This one. Just a little bit of background music while you're waiting for the devotional.
The opening of the song sounded like Auld Lang Syne.
Oh, Auld Lang Syne.
I
call that Auld Lang Syne. You called it what?
Auld Lang Syne. It's German.
I had the same thought, but I didn't know the name of the song.
Okay, here we go. Oh, I lost the verse. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. They had followed their present tense example. When Paul and the others had shared the gospel with them, they willingly opened their hearts and received the truth and began to live by it. It seems much tribulation had come. Troubles arise. Looking at this verse, I'm wondering if the troubles came before the gospel was presented. It seems more likely that the troubles came after, or maybe concurrently. That the gospel came with the joy of the Holy Spirit, even in the middle of tribulation. If we know that God provides joy and grows joy even in and especially in tribulation with the arrival of the truth, then we should expect the joy to be a long-standing feature. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and His coming anchors joy's presence in our lives. At times, it seems we may not know exactly what we have, and we lose our joy briefly. Even darker emotions or thought patterns seem to arise to the surface so that those observing might not think that we are receiving a grand kingdom and the promises of a grand king. And that's a shame. It shouldn't be so. Even though we may have sorrow or aggravation at the events of life and how out of place we are among them, we should realize that our state is so divinely blessed that these things, passing things, often should just bounce off of us. I suppose it takes experience with tribulation or adamant faith to respond this way to tribulation. But it seems from this passage that they received their joy with the gospel, and the tribulation, the gospel, and the joy all came at just about the same time and came to stay. Let it be so for us as well. It might be too late for past instances, but present and future instances of tribulation should no more cause the removal of our joy or the diminishing of our joy. Instead, maybe we should ride it like a bucking bronco and experience still greater joy at the celebration because we are experiencing similar trials to Christ. That example was set for us in Scripture, and even there is a biblical principle to say, for the trials we face, all the more secure our understanding of what we have received. Yeehaw! Ride 'em, cowboy. Our difficulties cannot undo our joy, and our celebration of God can be unending.
So, yeah.
All right, I love it. It's not 30, 25, it's 20, because I go about a dozen years ahead, 10 or so. All right, so now, whence last we broke. the uprising party was hanging out in Greyhawk. They were approached by, what's your name?
Diem.
Okay. And yes.
First name, Kermit.
He had told them that he was aware of a group of individuals that were interested in doing harm to at least Dearmood and Jake, possibly the entire uprising party, that it had something to do with what you had done previously. He didn't have much more information than that, but he did profess to know of a place where the individuals in question were conducting certain skullduggery later that evening, and he was suggesting that you go there and find out their for sure identity and what they're up to and potentially stop whatever is happening this evening in the pursuit of stopping them coming at you from the blind, so to speak, because the problem is he doesn't really know any way to locate them or do anything about them in the interim, and you'll just be waiting for them. So that was what he was proposing. There had been no commitment to going after them or anything like that. That's where we're at. So right now it is after lunch on the day in question. You have the remainder of the day ahead of you. Really haven't made arrangements. I think a couple of you actually did work on arrangements. Did somebody actually, one person actually work out arrangements for training already? Yes, Jake. Okay, yes. You found the what would you call him? Old, disgruntled,
seasoned
warrior, bodyguard on furlough in the Mage's Guild.
My plan was, if I couldn't in short time find a better option, I was just going to pay the grand. Training guild offers.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, so
$5,000 per level. So.
That is
full price. I'm not getting the friends and family discount.
No, they have no friends and family discount. That is the standard rate for 10th level training, generally speaking. I suppose they could probably actually charge more because the quality of the training will kill it. But they don't have that. They actually probably charge less to their members.
Sounds like
because
too special, though.
So, to expedite that matter a little bit, first of all, so mages that can train for a 10th level are kind of rare. Obviously, they're not out there, and those that are out there are, you know, sometimes active doing things like that. There may be something in the city. You could ask around. You could just kind of go, you know, is there somebody? Does it ask the bartender? Where do I start? You know, that kind of thing. So
I didn't think about it until afterwards, but I could have asked.
Yeah, so technically she is high enough level to train you. She did say that she was in the middle of chasing down a pretty important lead herself. But also then that might lead you to, she might say, well, I can't, I'm doing this, but I can know somebody that could if you wanted to do that. So my suggestion would be, since we have a number of people who want to try to do training, we'll kind of like simplify the process. So I just need to know whether or not you're going to try to hunt down a trainer at pay at kind of like going rates, or you're trying to seek out a bargain or train yourself. The major downside of training yourself is usually you don't get access to the little specialty things that trainers will sometimes, you know, bring in that give you, that's where you get some of the special abilities and things like that. If you actually are, you're training for a level that gives a pretty potent ability, let's say, if you train yourself for that level, you will not get that ability. That's the big downside. I'll just use one that's not in the group, like a monk, when he's training for the level that you would potentially get Quivering Palm. They can train himself, but after he's done training himself, he'll have the level of the hit points of all the other capabilities, but he won't have Quivering Palm. So that's what you'd be lacking. But if you're at the level you begin to make potions, for example, you just wouldn't learn it. You can always go up just your hit points and your saves and your combat. If you don't need somebody to teach you anything, get it. One better THACO or one bonus on your saving throw, for example.
But that's, you can't do that until you're high enough level to train yourself.
Correct. You have to be high enough level.
You have to be name level.
Yeah. Generally. Some are lower. Rogues tend to be lower than name level.
Try to find this Kurt Belker in with a clock house.
Yes, that's where you're looking for him. Okay, so
I need to train.
All right.
I need 2 weeks of training.
It's
one of those levels.
Okay. Right. So is there any training as well? So does everybody need a week of training? Is that plan? All right. So that leaves us with this dilemma then. Are you going to allow this intrigue of those who potentially would hunt you down and kill you to slow down your pursuit of training? That's the question. Bear in mind that if you go 5 days and you don't do something, once people know you're in town, if they are actually out to kill you, there will be a pretty good likelihood of an attempt.
Can't train
five. Who's out to kill us?
Well, he doesn't know for sure. He said it's a guild. It's a group of individuals.
This is the warning.
Yes. And he knows where they will be to conduct business that evening.
What evening?
The evening that we're on right now today.
He was paid by them to bring us to the ambush point.
No. Well,
Well, if that was true, you would know it pretty quickly because you'd be ambushed. Most of you would not start training that day anyway. You would have ranked it that day, so you could go do that and figure out exactly how much you're in for example, and start your training first thing.
You're stealing my idea right now.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, we can go seek out trainers today, beat these guys up tonight, and start training tomorrow.
That's kind of what I was thinking, too. Because like you said, it's already after lunch, so we're not going to be able to do anything today.
Well, I'd really like to beat up people after training, though, because I only need one experience point to go up another level.
My guess is the world will readily provide you all to beat up.
I think that's true for all of us, though. So.
Yeah,
just start a bar fight, Brian.
No, I'll just try to figure out a magic item.
Is there anybody that's not capped? We capped the whole party?
I think the whole party's capped.
Cleric. Okay, wait. Cleric. I have a weird question.
No.
Can I like, switch? I don't know how this will be classed. Can I, like, switch at any time to apply my experience to that level, or I have to play the adventurer as that other class?
You're doing forever.
So,
you're considered multi-class right now, aren't you?
No, dual. Once your second class has reached equal to your first class, then you don't switch back and forth. You have both classes all at the same time.
Right.
Okay? But you cannot put experience back in the first class to raise its level unless you meet the qualifiers for dual classing both directions.
Okay.
So that would be the question. So it's a pretty narrow window. Basically, in order for that to work, the prerequisites of both classes would have to be 17 or 18 and the same.
They're both 18.
There you go. So you could do that. So then that the experience in question would go to whichever class you are favoring during that adventure.
Or it's just based on strength.
You would be both classes.
So I can still use both and do that?
Yeah.
Wow.
But you wouldn't be able to split it. It's going to be all to one, which means, like, so what level is your lower class?
Six.
Okay, so if you had been that class for this adventure we just left, you would have barbered 200,000 experience.
I might be doing that. And there is an argument to be made that I favor it.
So that's something you just need to determine for the future. Just
when you start the adventure, I'm accumulating my experience toward that. It's very rare. That's an extremely rare thing to have. You'd have to, because it has to be a 17 or 18. It happens to be that both of your classes only require one requisite.
Yeah, so Archer doesn't require dexterity.
It's a fighter.
So it requires a 9 strength. That's all it requires. Wow. But a 15 or higher, you can get.
On its own, it's a pretty basic class. Yeah. It has a lot of.
Well, it is a commoner's class.
I know.
That's why it's like that.
Jump commoner.
Yeah. But then it's always been true that some of the commoners wind up rising above the rest and exhibiting incredible abilities. Although Robin Hood was allegedly not a commoner, actually.
No, he's a lord.
Allegedly.
Nottingham.
Robin of Locksley.
Okay, anyway, so this is what I'm hearing. Pursuing, everyone is setting up training throughout the remainder of the day. All right, so we're just going to, if everyone's okay with that, we're just going to dice the results, and then we'll proceed with the interlude of going to deal with the people that are potentially trying to kill you, and then the next morning, you'll train. Now, if by dealing with the interlude, you have achieved at least 5 days peace, then we will generally fast forward and let just say the 5 days are clean, everything is fine. Okay? If, on the other hand, it becomes pretty clear that there are still problems abounding, then we'll have to kind of go day by day a little bit to see when those problems interfere, whether or not there are assassination attempts or whether some other thing muddies the waters. Okay? That work? All right.
So,
number one priority is keep the analog.
Can I put that
in? So you can raise it
to Archer from the next
one. Once I train, I'll be able to make it.
I thought you already did.
Not without the last at least 100,000 either way. That's just
everybody.
So basically you're asking if you can go up one level and cap in Archer as opposed to Druid. That's what you're asking.
I burn about 250,000.
I burn about 225,000.
I burn about 80. The
first thing is, I need training.
So basically, each time you get experience,
you
just say, okay, from now on, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And you really can't change it until the next time you get experience.
I received more experience before the 10% bonus than my character had accumulated to this point. It's ridiculous.
Me too, actually.
Then I added 10%.
So I will over that. So for reference, I'll write it down. I will continue favoring my experience with Archer. So I'll get this experience.
All right.
As you wish.
For Archer, because now I've got 2 levels of training.
I actually need a trainer, I think, in both of my classes.
Me too.
What about right?
Is this my player?
Like, you need 2 weeks of training.
I do need 2 weeks.
Why, I'm glad I'm only one.
But I need a trainer in Thief because I'm hitting 10th level, which means I can use magical writing.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, great. There goes my scroll. My scroll income.
Cleric, I'm reaching 9th level.
Discharge of
which
money.
Is... Oh, wait. Well, 9th level will usually be a stronghold level.
I'm not going to get
but I already got
coming
something
in
place of that.
Lucas.
So... That's the level
which you said fifth level spell.
And I am.
But you also wouldn't get any special benefit then.
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing is.
Considering it'll cost you $45,000, it's probably worth.
That's the thing about consumables.
Eighth level is not. It's not name level. Ninth level is. Which means I can't train myself, right? I have to be a high priest to train myself.
Well, I mean, that's normally because of the ninth level. So I would say.
Well, I mean, it does say. So eighth level is automatically attracts followers. That was what I got. Ninth level is the option of constructing a religious stronghold. So does the boon replace both of those?
Are you one of
the so he's got time stop, and the, but he's also got
honestly, dimension
door. He has, yes, the one time stop a week and one dimension door.
Dimension door. One of them is the eighth level.
I got both of them at
eighth
level.
I think one of them is
the eighth level.
And then I end the game because you're only entitled to the eighth level, right?
I think you.
I'm definitely a quarter.
I think it was a balancing play. Like you. You were going to do the time stop, but then you thought the time stop without any limit was too strong, so you put a limit on the time stop, but then
I have been using
you added the dimension door because the time stop wasn't a particularly travel-based ability.
One is the dark.
It was a long, drawn-out conversation.
Okay, in any case, so you can train for you can train yourself. That is possible if you choose. However, if you do so, you will not gain an additional authority at night. And if you somebody else train you, then you don't know what that's going to be because you know it's not going to be as strong as that. Yeah, you're just not. You're not in position to settle down. Not that there aren't priests or hermits too.
So he's definitely seeking out a priest, and he knows that there is a temple with a fairly.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Correct. At least, of at least 11th level.
Yeah, so just to be clear, okay, in Greyhawk, there is no chance that you will not find a trainer. Okay? It's going to be more of a question of the gradient of the trainer. Okay? It also could be like, is the trainer evil? Right? Does it connect you with somebody that you don't otherwise want to be connected? I mean, so there are subtle things like that. But as by and large, in Greyhawk, the population of Greyhawk is unknown exactly, but probably runs somewhere between 12 and 20 million people. So it is one of the largest, if not the largest city in the world, and it is a very heavily known city, right? And it is very heavily trade-based. So there's really no issue with finding a trainer. I guess there's two potential things. One is, what is the nature and quality of the trainer? That's one. And the other one is, how long it could take. So as long as you can make it by tomorrow morning and start training the next day, otherwise it takes you an extra day, then you're back a day.
I can't imagine there's not 5 to 10 elven cities in the elven lands.
Oh yeah, so we're not talking about elven cities, not about human cities for sure. So, although there is a debate with that because the elves are they don't. It's not that they have say a half dozen cities that have 12 million population, but they have thousands of cities that have over 1 million population. So like you'd be in a city with 1.5 million population, walk 300 yards and you're in another city with 1.5 million population, and you walk across that city, walk 300 yards and you're in another city with 1.5 million population, and the forest grows up in amongst the city. All right, so. Searching for trainers first. Everybody roll a d6.
Hooray!
Nice. Now you're out.
I have generated numerous questions, so just whenever you get
me. Nice.
Well, when six. My number comes up, we'll be able to.
That was good, right? All
right. So who got a 6?
Yay!
Okay, we're going to do Ron first because Aaron has a bunch of questions.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right.
I may create more questions.
We want to know more about this stuff.
I'm trying to get
I rolled a 5. Just don't roll again.
I rolled a 5.
Well, you're next.
All right.
Break that.
Exasperation.
Okay, so Your options immediately are, you could get a trainer through the Mage's Guild. You already know that. It really wouldn't be one trainer, per se. If you do that, it would be multiple people of a higher level than you that would stand in. They sign in to take a day.
One person to teach me, the other person to ominously walk around me with a yardstick in their hand and occasionally whack me when I get
basically what they do is that they schedule 8-hour shifts.
Hold the lantern as it,
it's
as
more like a clearing house. So whatever mage is a high enough level that wants to take a day, takes a day, and they split the money.
There's no war.
Which has advantages because you're getting touched by multiple people, like affecting most people, but also disadvantages because, like, say at the end of the day, you start thinking, oh, I think I could do this. That person may not have picked up another day for you to actually learn that thing. So there are advantages and disadvantages.
Well,
that's one way.
I've never looked at it.
There is the alternative. There are two other alternatives. Another way is to sign up for training through the academy. Now, there is a great rivalry between the Mage's Guild and the academy. That could be a problem. And so that's something to take into account. Basically, there you would take an intensive class. It would be a master's level intensive training class. It would be probably a little cheaper than the going rate because they have them going on all the time. And then the third method is to search publicly, you know, by word of mouth, as after the search out some. Again, that method will not fail. That one is just only a question of how much time it takes. The first two, you could just go pay the money and you're good.
Well, the academy thing, I'm not necessarily opposed to it. I mean, I am a member of fine standing of the Mage's Guild.
Fine standing.
But, whatever. But, you know, I think I'd still rather ask Agaba first. She might be able to point me to somebody who's good.
Okay.
I think we were meeting for dinner this evening, weren't we?
Well, we did not do this. Inquire. Okay, so.
I wonder how Stroh's would feel about it.
Bring her along.
You gotta be with my ex.
Bring her along, yeah. Right.
I know you agreed to meet for dinner. I had to bring my Medusa wife with me.
This is Agaba. We made magic together.
I think Stroh would expect you to say the same about her.
Yeah. I mean,
okay. So we're in montage mode. So you meet her for dinner. You asked her. She says, as expected, she cannot at this time. She figures she'll be 2 to 3 weeks on the project that she's on. After that time, she would do it for free. So if you want, if you're willing to wait a few weeks, then there's that.
We will likely not be in town that long.
I understand. If I could delay what I'm working on for a week, I would do it, but I can't.
I mean, there's always a chance I might not even make it through this week of training without being interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
So is the life of a hero.
We have demigods to kill.
All right, anyway, so she recommends
so little time.
3 leads of one is a mage who is doing magic in the city, basically selling spell effects. You can pay him to cast this or that.
Isn't that illegal?
It's illegal to do it publicly, but no, it's not illegal to sell, like to do it in his lab.
It's only illegal
for your cost. Yeah, it's like remove curse, or somebody can pay him 100 gold pieces to cast a string spell, or things like that. He's selling it.
Money.
Now, whether or not she says whether or not he's actually, I don't know if he's high enough level training or not, but he's well known. His name is Willoughby Wisnet. Willoughby Wisnet. The wizard Willoughby Wisnet. Also, some call it wizardly Willoughby.
I begin silently judging her in my head.
Okay. Second, as a governmental official, everyone knows that he graduated from academy. He should be well powerful enough to train you. He serves in middle government. I don't know what his actual title is for sure. I can give you his address. He's been inquired as to whether or not he would be willing to train you. He certainly has the skill. He's taught as an adjunct professor at the academy a number of times recently. That kind of thing. So he's capable of training you. If you offer him the money, he would probably do it. Also, you know, rumor has it he was an incredibly skilled professor as far as like helping people learn and pick up things that were difficult concepts. So that's the second individual. But he is currently working in the government. So that does kind of like, you know, could it bring government entanglement or whatever. But the third is a subsidiary member, which is to say he's not on the ruling rank, but he's from the next level down of the ruling council of Greyhawk. And he is... Rumor has it that he is an archmage, but if he is, he's either reversed aged himself or he's very young for that status, probably in his 40s. And you can usually find him on the young nobleman wining and dining circuit, basically. He's around town, bar to bar, that kind of thing. But he would definitely have the skill to train you and might be in the market for to make 40,000 gold pieces. That's a lot. So, right, if you want the names of those, they are, the first guy was Willoughby Wisnet. That's the guy for who sells his goods, basically. And then the second guy is Riley. It's R-Y-L-E-Y, Thurston. And he's a government official. Not like high up in the government, but he has some kind of a role. He doesn't exactly know what. And then...
mid-level bureaucrat.
Yeah, like that, okay. And then Teddy Salisbury is the individual who winds and dines his way around town. He has a lot of connection stuff.
Sounds like an expensive taste.
He has, perhaps, he does have the... No, as far as anyone knows, he has the title of Archmage, which means he's well above what you need. But he does spend a lot of money, gets around a lot, so he might be willing to take the money for the training. Okay? So those are the three that immediately come to mind. Do you pursue any of those three, or do you want to go back to sticking with the...
I'm not going to go with the uptight government official. That's because it grates on my nerves. That's Brunson. It grates on Brunson's.
Okay.
So I guess I'd try
the archer. The guy who parties himself.
Probably the partier. So that sounds fun. And he might be, if he's hard up for cash, he might be willing to take 40 grand instead of it. So I'm working agency.
Okay. All right. So she gives you a lead on where to potentially connect with him. It is in a seedier part of town, which there's a lot of that. Also, it is that evening. It would theoretically be after the whatever is brewing to deal with the Assassin's Plot or whatever that kind of thing, because she is suggesting that go between 11 and midnight, and that thing he was talking about was like 8 p.m.
Can I just send him?
Send him.
Super horrible.
Cast sending.
Oh, my name?
Yeah.
Although... If he's actually an archmage, he might have protection from people sending to his brain. Or he could take offense at gold. Depends largely on his personality.
I'm willing to pay you 40,000 gold to train me.
And are you willing to spend a fifth level spell to get send this message? Sure. And are you willing to spend a fifth level spell to get this message across to him?
I would if I think it's not rude.
I mean, it's probably not rude. Some people could be offended, but like, it could be assuming too much.
Well, see, you said seedier part out. I don't like that. So.
Well, a lot of the skip around town, drink, and party nightclubs are going to be in the seedier parts of town.
You're right. I'm going to go with Willoughby.
Okay, come back. Going back to the street, yeah. the guy selling his services.
I'm like standing there on the cusp of CD Town, and I'm like, no, let's go back to this
room. When he goes to dinner with Agrabah,
I'll talk to the Willoughby.
I didn't really
like Okay. So yeah, he has an open shop. You can go to his shop. It's actually in the end district, so it's not too far from the roost where you're staying. The roost, probably 4 or 5 blocks.
I still have my comeliness bonus from my makeup kits that I use.
Okay. Are you taking anyone out with you when you go to?
Oh yeah.
Who are you taking?
Jake, if he's available.
Okay. Are you available?
Yeah.
After dinner, but before the assassins kind of meet up.
Did I already have a chance to scout the place? If not, Kate, can we swing by this place right here?
Anything's possible. Well, I don't know.
I'm supposed to be there tomorrow morning before dawn.
You could probably have scouted it before dinner. There would have been time.
I'll take somebody else if I need to.
Oh, no.
Xavier.
That's the only thing I really wanted to accomplish.
Okay.
Any meat shield will do.
Careful, you're going to make him feel like he's not wanted.
That was my internal boss.
Internal boss. At least I'm wanted.
If you don't want to miss any of the story, Low Moon Origins, Uprising, or Outsiders, like and follow our podcast. Please share it with friends. Okay, so you visit his shop. He's a goofy character a little bit, very transactional. Like, you're there, you introduce yourself, he introduces himself, he asks you, what do you want? Have you come for a spell cast? And he's like, no, I'm interested in training. He says he would assess you to determine whether or not you're fit for training. But assuming you are, he would provide you with 5 days of training, including a spell of the appropriate level for 45,000 gold.
I try to haggle down 40.
We'll come to that.
Stop, Jake. You're hurting my chances. Oh, wait, no, you're helping with that.
He's pretty.
Sorry. Ooh, 17. Smile more. Jabbing, jabbing.
Close the ribs.
He agrees. Is that low for a reaction roll?
Yes.
I didn't know if it was supposed to be high or
low. Totally high.
Oh, well, then I'm going to re-roll reaction. It's my last one.
Okay.
Cross that out.
We're going to need another, get another repeat so you can restock.
I know. Hurry up, people. Throw some money in.
Now that he set this example, everyone will be stocking up
65.
The next
65 is much better.
Is it?
Yep.
It's like 3 times, 4 times enough. Exactly. Okay, so he agrees to 42,000, and he does kind of hedge in, but, you know, while you're in training, you have to ask a couple of spells for the shop, because he has people randomly walk in and pertain to a certain spell, and you have to have it in memory.
Yeah, sure.
No, usually person augmenting fells. Like,
I'll just show up for training every day with war magic in my hand. Like, oh, sorry. I got his fireball.
I'll have fireball.
Transferred fireball, everything.
Fireball, bad crystal, that's all I got.
Yeah, transferred everything in the body. You got to be prepared.
Exactly.
All of my slots are magic missiles.
During training, yep. During training, you're pretty unlikely to have 5 or 6 hours to be memorizing different spells. It'll probably be whatever you've already got.
It's sounds all like quickened magic missiles.
Sounds like Victor.
Dude, okay. You got to get the chamber. You can get quickened chamber missiles.
Well, I say 42?
Yes.
Right, 42. Start tomorrow morning.
The one guy's very dead.
At 10.
Somebody rushes
him. Okay.
They have a shield.
Not gone. 10.
Why?
Dawn's too early.
Teleport.
Muscle wizard.
Okay. I wanted to get up at dawn. I could have been an adventurer.
That'd be a
fun fight. In fact, I was.
There's a lot of those
earlier
things.
In life. My shop is much more financially viable than my adventuring career ever was.
It sounds like an interesting venture.
I net about 20,000 gold a month in spell purchases. As you can imagine, identify as one of my most sought after.
There was a day I could cast two of those at the same day.
But you mustn't have it. We're going to have to talk.
Hit points, Dan? I didn't lose my hit points. Three. Plus muscle wizard.
Okay, so you will be trained by Willoughby Witten for the next Whiston for the next 5 days, assuming you survive the encounter with your enemies this evening.
Thank you, Mr.
I hope we do for training my friend here.
I'll do my best.
Given it's a party to go back to.
Yeah, it would be bad if the party dies and you're with Cold Bass.
I'm an outsider, so.
Or he comes in right the last time, and you're like, you could have saved us,
dear moon. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of
lovely.
Yeah, it's all dying and stuff.
Looks like his leg's broken, got one down. I want a shotgun.
Yes, of course, I'm used to this being over there on the floor. That's probably why I like this one. So it's not really like a thing. It's one of the things. Okay. Missouri. Jim, prep to know you first, and what are your questions?
So, I would prefer to you.
That's my question.
I would prefer to you first.
Okay.
My questions are, first is, according to Jeff for the archer class, at 7th level archers gain the ability to cast high.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Okay.
My first question, I guess, is that all the control of my
magic? Yes.
It does say it has, they have to have the spell pot of that magic to be ready.
Right.
Your teacher probably. Yeah, or if you're going to yes.
Sure.
But it says, it also does failure on
the
second thing is, I guess, yeah, second and third thing are like bodybuilding and hit points. Am I getting those for this level, or do I only get those when my physical grades are like exceeding?
Yeah.
So
that's good chance
for the archery.
Okay, so
hit points, I'm pretty sure I don't.
So you would, as a dual class, you would get the points for each new level achievement. So if you're a 10th level, you'd have 10 hit dice for one and 10 hit dice for the other. So you get them with every new level achievement. You do not get your time bonus separately. So if you're not, so if you're 20, you'll get.
So I should have 7 archery dice. Say again.
No, because when you first dual classed, you didn't get them until you made it above.
Okay, so just now that you
right,
level.
So now going back and forth, you would get it.
Okay. So this would be the first time that would come into play then.
Right.
Never got back before. I also get to reroll my last marginal one. And that's now.
As far as.
So you don't
want to
get combos if you're...
When you're classing the top, you're adding to the top class.
Yeah, you get combos. When your classes, the number becomes bigger than
you. Correct. Yes. That's for metal on in that class. I told you. Again, this is a rare case where you'd be able to come back and forth like that. Most people right now would be able to do it. They would use that 7-18 class.
That 2-17 and 2-18.
Exactly.
And they have the same
remainder. Yeah, exactly. Which is the thing, if you ever lose a point of strength or stats, you don't have
a chance.
You
just decide on the
I mean, I guess it's like that. Still have both classes.
You're stuck in whichever one. Okay, what was the other one you asked?
Bodybuilding.
Bodybuilding reads whenever you gain a level.
Okay, and do I roll that before I
After.
That's an interesting way to get your money's worth out of bodybuilding. You're like, you're in it deep.
I've got bodybuilding too, so.
If you have the stats to be dual blast, it's always going to be the best way to go. With the exception that while you're raised up, you can't use any of those abilities.
You're just going to burn so much.
You'll burn a lot of experience
in the process. Yeah, you have to use the abilities in order to get the experience. So how that would apply with what you're doing. That could affect you with what you're doing. There's a lot of losing
credits. What credits
are you just what levels are So the question is, if your experience is set to a lower class, then would you do any limitations, kickback, or anything? I think if they had this as a score, where you would not be able to see the abilities of the lower class, and so give them. That's the question. It's just like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
On sniper round, would you keep your sniper? And I say, no, I think you pretty well are past that point. Show me that one. Okay, so we're. Alright, so anyway, bodybuilding would accrue. It reads every time you gain a level. Which also works for if you get level drained, you don't reduce your bodybuilding. Then when you get restored, you add bodybuilding again. So if you're willing to be level drained and restored, level drained, you get better again.
That'd be an interesting player concept. The character
My character in RJ's game has a thing kind of like that because he lost his levels.
Like he's like some magic.
Some archmage experimenting on spider.
A vampire and a super soldier fighter working together to make
money. Yeah, that'd be something else. Okay, anyway, so what do we have? Everything else? Alright, so you said druid first. Druids are a little bit trickier in the city. Okay, by after dinner, you have two leads on, these are in the city, so without having to like go to the wild forest or you know, travel far away or something like that, two leads on dental trainers. Both druids, obviously, and as far as anybody knows, only druids, not like druid archer, druid fighter, like that. So one of them is a guy named Huntley Nixon, and he works for the city in the parks department. Okay? So it is,
that's cool.
Rumor has it that he actually recently challenged and was successful in defeating a guy named Aldwin Huntley, who is a kind of a traveling roving druid. When he challenged him for ninth level.
Okay.
And so Huntley Nixon is theoretically a ninth level. Okay. Aldwin is
eighth level now, right?
Is now down to eighth level. So either one of them could theoretically train you based on that.
Because he's been ninth level before, you could train.
Are you training for ninth? No, so you would actually need Huntley Nixon.
I'm training for eighth. I'm sorry. I'm train free.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're train free. No, so you can be theoretically trained by someone who is one level higher, but it has to be at the level that you're trying to
be. Yeah, two levels higher than your current level.
I think Cavaliers have the stipulation two levels higher, but everybody else is on the top. I think it's in the description of the class.
So, yeah, I guess I'll seek out Huntley. What is it? Huntley.
Huntley Nixon. Okay, he's the one who's just recently successful in 8-9 level. Okay. What percent of others? Okay. So you easily persuade him to potentially take you on as a student. He does say that he has a commitment. There's a festival that's taking place in one of the city's parks, and the park is all ready and everything. That's not the issue, but during the actual 2 days of the festival, he has to be there. It means he would not be able to do, like, begin tomorrow and 5 days on top. He'd have to do 3, take a couple days off, and then finish up. If that's something you want to do, then he would be willing to do that. Also, strangely, he suggests you could seek out Alvin Huntley and pay him for training, if he knows that he has the ability to do it, and he doesn't hold any grudge against the man, and he knows that the guy kind of used a boost, basically. Not braggadociously, but just basically says, I recently boosted in a challenge.
Which he thinks he could.
Yeah.
He could train.
Yep. And would likely not have the split. If you're going to consider him training, you should reach out to him sooner rather than later, because he's not a Greyhawk native. And so, you get this down.
Well, okay, you know where I can find him?
Also, he does say that if he trains you, he would charge you a fee of $30,000.
Okay. Do you know where I find Alvin?
Yes, so he points that out to you. He's been staying in. Last night he was waiting for his party before they left, that kind of thing. You search him out, you find that he is the knight in question before you go to deal with the assassins. You're running out of time to make your decision or whatever, but he says that you find him basically drinking himself into his silliness. He's already drunk way too much. You can get him to make a commitment to train you being the next day. He does say he'll probably have a hangover to start, but he is willing to do it. And he also asked for $30,000. And he doesn't have a festival, so it'll be done in 5 days. He did seem a little bit like, when you told him that he's the other guy sent you, he was like, he took it more like the guy was kind of rubbing it in. That was a nice gesture.
I'll say, I'd like to start tomorrow morning and go back to school. Also, know that I'm always full. Very high.
You do realize that once you complete your training, you will have to find someone to battle for the title.
You gotta keep down.
It's a way to keep a perpetual income flow. You let them, you train them up to the next level, they fight you, you beat them down a level, they go adventure for a while, they come back, and they pay 30,000 gold, then they challenge you again, you beat them down, keep it going. There's a certain amount of economy in there. Okay.
Nature's economy.
During that process, you could have at least tried to find someone who could train you as an archer. Time is short to mix it in. But we also know that archers are a little less common, actually, at a higher level, right? More plants than druids, but you're looking for...
But yes, an idol, an archer.
Yeah.
Right?
That's how it's like. So, the place that you can start with that is local military.
Yeah, that would be my first place to check. That's what I meant.
And so there is a single archer in the local military unit. It's a female.
I should pull
up that.
Oh, yeah.
High enough level to do it.
Is her name really good?
Nope, her name is Haven.
It's like, oh, that's where she ended up.
Her name is Haven Buckley Straw.
Well,
And you get the opportunity while you're waiting to speak to her to see her shoot. She is still better than you are.
That's why I'm here.
After speaking with her, you find that she seems bored with her station.
Interested in giving financially to Low Moon and support the campaign? Text LMGIVE, that's LM Give, to 419-419-0095.
She is the third in command of her unit, and both of the men who are over top of her are, by her own estimate anyway, inferior in capabilities. But one of them is a baron's son and has the social status to hold his position, and the other one has more military history, but she's a better shot, better skilled. She doesn't really anticipate moving up. And when you offer pay for her to train you, she says she can do it. It'll take 10 hours a day for 5 days rather than 8, so she'll still have to make her rounds and you'll have to work around some of the appointments that she has to have and stuff like that. But she's willing to do it, and she'll charge you 40,000 gold if you're interested.
It's 40,000?
Yep. Do you have it? She says.
Still a pretty penny.
Yeah.
We did
35.
48.
Yeah, her journal.
38.
When do you want to start? This other guy.
I
was going to say. Yeah, 6 days. Okay. That's fine. The 20% deposit, pay the rest at the end. Also, you should be aware we're 15 days out from a Royal Archery tournament. It'll cost you 1,000 gold to enter, but the top 100 contestants are earning payout. So, yeah, if you're going to be in the top 100, you get half of it back right there. Get in the top 50 and you'd make a profit.
Is there any, what are the top prizes this way? Not that I'm breaking that one.
So the list of the top three is supposed to be released this coming week, but I have it under good authority that one of the top, probably the number one prize is an arrow of red dragon slaying, a single arrow of red dragon slaying, and also a golden statue with something like 20,000 gold.
I'll have to see if I'm going to be in town that long. You know when the last opportunity to sign up is?
I think they're signing up on the day of. It's 1,000 gold piece entry fee, so.
If I'm in town, I'll
quality archers.
If I'm in town still, I'll participate.
If I hear anything more during your training, I'll let you know. I will be in the barracks every day. If you do manage to get free before the 6th day, let me know, and we can get started sooner.
I'll bring back the deposit in the morning, okay?
Mm-hmm. Have that much on me. That's fine. If you prefer, I can give you my bank account number and we can deposit. That way you don't have to carry it to the barracks and I carry it to the bank.
Yeah.
800 pounds of gold. Or 160 pounds of platinum. Or 40 gems or so.
Wheelbarrow right over to the barracks. Yep, I will head down.
Okay, it's 2-4-717-8-1. 2-4-717-8-1. And it's held at the Unwin Merchant's Guild.
Unwin?
Unwin.
Wind with a D.
I understand. Wind is don't lose. And the alternative to losing would be, or if you lose, you could be said to unwin.
Is it just like the merchant's guild just runs the bank?
That's what they have. You wouldn't have to be a member of the guild out here? Are you asking her?
I'm just wondering.
You doubt that you would have to be a member. They just hold the money, take a small amount of interest in your taxes. Kind of similar to how modern bank works.
In that sense, I bet you that won't present. I knew that.
All right, who's got the fives? All right, we'll do Xavier first, he's only has one class. Nice. What level? 10? 10? Okay. So unfortunately for you,
most of the high-level fighters in question are, they are what they are. So there's a general, he doesn't train people unless they're in the military. There's a lord, a baron, that kind of thing. However, there are a few individuals that after a little bit of like searching out whatever, might be possibilities. So the first one is a baron who no longer has lands. He was part of, he had lands and his whole family had lands in southern Geoff. And about a dozen years ago or so, when the barbarians took over that part of the world, essentially, he and his people lost their hereditorial lands. He's maintained his title, traveled the world. He's a, by reputation, a fairly successful adventurer and swordsman. He is a fighter by trade. His name is Whitcomb Snowden. They call it, people call him the Lord Snow, even though his last name is actually Snowden. So that is a possible, you could pursue him. Basically, you just find him at the inn that he's staying at. He travels around. Rumor has it that he takes mercenary contracts. Another rumor says that they have done dragon hunting. Another says they've delved deep into the Underdark and brought back rare treasures.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
One guy saw him sell one at the marketplace, a pearl of power, you know, things like that. So there's rumors abound about him, and he and his party are staying in Greyhawk at the moment. Okay. Another is an actual mercenary captain, no doubt about it. His name is John Packard, P-A-C-K-A-R-D. He is, by all accounts, from Low Moon. He is a citizen of Low Moon, has actual citizenship, and that is something all by itself. He is not a knight. He is a warrior. He has served mercenary contracts all over the world. Most recently served at the front of the war between Low Moon and Geoff, which is currently under truce, as you well know. And so he also is staying in Greyhawk currently, and you could pursue and ask him. So he is very kind of classic mercenary.
I've heard his name being part of the mercenary.
So there were 150,000 mercenaries at the front, so it would be pretty random if he was close to you. You do not know his name, so it would have been neat, but okay. Then there is a guy named Prescott Pollock. Prescott Pollock is essentially a fisherman, and he, according to rumor, had a very active and successful adventuring career, that kind of thing, raised four sons who also had active and successful adventuring careers, now has grandsons and granddaughters who live in Greyhawk. They own a small fleet of fishing boats and stuff, and he has been handing over that to one of his sons, who's now retired from adventuring. So Prescott is older. Probably in his late 60s, maybe 70 years old, but still physically fit and capable himself as a fighter. He has a military title. He has more of an honor title as a general, but has not served in the military other than maybe just to show up and, you know, receive salutes or that kind of thing, more for show than anything like that. But again, he has had a successful career as a fighter for probably 50 years. Now he's a fisherman, but now he's retiring as a fisherman. And so rumor has it he might be willing to train somebody, especially for a sizable amount of money like what we're talking about. No one knows exactly what level he is or anything like that. None of these, you know, these are just people that rumor has it might be, have enough prowess to possibly train you and be open to the concept. Again, there are another dozen, maybe more, maybe 30, but they're all people that are like probably not available. Any of those you're interested in pursuing? Okay, so John Packer is a successful mercenary. Okay. Alright. So, again, we're in montage, so you do locate him. Roll percentile dice says you're. That was probably weird. I rolled 06 twice. Should have that perfect. Okay. No, I rolled a 02. 06, 06, 02. Really weird. Okay, so you managed to locate him, have a conversation with him. You kind of had to work your way through his bodyguards, who were, to say the least, obnoxious. You had to restrain yourself to not kill them or anything like that. You did manage to get in to see him. From the get-go, both of you knew what you were talking about, that there's a boatload of money involved,
and a reasonably sizable time commitment away from any other activity to train somebody for 5 days. So it was very point blank, direct, and
training. I want training. You have money. I have money. You have time. I have time. Let's do it.
Something like that. Okay. Anyway, so he ultimately agrees. He will give you 5 days of training. He does say that he brooks no weakness. So if after 5 days of training you are unsuccessful in retaining the knowledge that he's giving you, then you will either have to pay him additional funds, rehire him, or seek someone else to finish the job. If you don't have the capability, don't waste the money. And he's asking $45,000.
Like a little bit more, have like a spare course or whatever. You know, maybe that, but the fighters are all like, "If you're too stupid, get out of here."
Yeah.
No guarantees, and the, like the fighters are usually have like
lowest
wisdom.
Chance of
yeah,
I don't suffer fools. It's because fighters deal with it too much; they get sick of it.
Yeah. Well, they probably know that if they agree to go until you're finished, it could be a month, it could be 3 months. You can, if you fail after 40 hours, you can pretty much do the next 10 by yourself. You don't really need a trainer. Well, you still would get it, but your chance goes down by 20% to pick up anything extra. And if you have to go another 10 to get it, then your chance would go down by 50%. That's 20 out of the 40. So if you wind up with 80 hours, for example, you have no chance of getting it. You're just too dull to pick it up.
All these people talking about a huge time commitment. We're talking about a 40-hour work week. I do this every week.
I mean, they also may have full jobs.
Okay. Mark off the money, and we'll handle it, assuming we survive the assassins.
45.
Yes. Okay. Cleric is temple. That part's relatively easy. You already know that there is a high priest of Hermes, and high priest of Hermes in Greyhawk. Yeah. So you pursue, you go to him and say, "Can you, or someone else, train me to be what? Yes. Another high priest that is currently staying in temple, not the acting high priest. There have been some political infighting going on. They're both acting, right? So he's the acting high priest. The other guy has the authority to be the high priest. They both could be. And so there's been some political intrigue as people take the permanent high priest role that one has at this point in time. So the acting high priest is willing to assign the other high priest, and he does have the authority to do that because he's the acting high priest. And so High Priest Pelton, no surname, will happily train you, and you will need to donate 25,000 gold to the temple.
I'll take that to mean on top of the generous donation I previously made.
Of course. And I do appreciate your tying up my rival for a week. I won't forget it.
Very well.
All right. Now, if you become good friends with Pelton, maybe you want to help him become high priest. Everybody did like that one sermon that he was. The locals. The locals are very fond of the diminutive up-and-coming priestly force.
It's the only church where the more people you get to walk out during the sermon is best. I had 13 people walk out of service today.
The entire sermon is just trying to convince people to get moving.
Yeah.
It's like Ninja. What are you still doing?
Why are you sitting here?
It's like Ninja.
There are roads!
The professor says, I didn't see you.
It's time to go somewhere! Yep. I urge you. You go to Low Moon. You go to Tia.
Well, you know what's funny about that is back in the day at East City Baptist Church, the sermon that I responded to actually for the call into the ministry, Cliff Coleman, who was a preacher out of Mississippi and came up and preached a couple times a year at East City Baptist Church, preached a sermon. He preached all the way through the New Testament on the word go, the whole New Testament. It took him 45 minutes. He went through the entire New Testament, taking 45 minutes on the word go. And that was the day that I said, okay, I'll go. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'll go. And I had forgotten that until just now, actually. And then I just remember that the day that we were praying about whether or not your mother was supposed to take the job in Lansing, and they were asking us 2 days early, and God said, go. That's what he said. And I said, no, but seriously. And God said, go, and I'll go with you. And that's why we went to Lansing. It's very interesting. I was in Lansing. That's when I found out about Bible college, and I went. Pelton.
Peloton.
Like Peloton, but not. Peloton. He doesn't have a surname. He could be Pelton Peloton.
I think Pelotons might be antithetical.
Yeah, considering they don't go
anywhere.
Stationary.
But it's training to go.
Heretical training machines.
Embracing the idea.
Not just go.
Because you could go a lot more in training than you could actually go if you're going.
That's not true. Just go in circles.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
You go in circles, so you're really going anywhere.
Well, but like,
you're true.
You
more ground than
you
not
physically
going.
Move enough to go 10 miles when normally if you went on the road, you would encounter things that would slow you down. Over the train, bombs,
yes,
rain.
Yes, that's better training for going.
Did you say bombs?
I don't disagree.
The homeless.
I'm just saying. You could go.
But yes.
You could go.
Okay, I'll ask
in
Phil
theory
what he thinks about Peloton.
He doesn't know what a Peloton is. Okay. Peloton. All right, anyway, so that was pretty easy. And you haven't even gotten to dinner time yet. And then you need a trainer for Steve. Okay. Now you joined the Thieves Guild here and paid substantial fees, if I recall. And there is a discount for training for the guild. For those who have done that.
Okay.
So there are three possibilities through the guild, all people from the guild who could train you. Okay. So one is a young lady. She is a human. She's about 17 years old, and she is a high-ranking rogue in her own right. And her name is Alyssa Chadwick. She is the third daughter of the Earl of Chadwick. And as such, has managed to stay mostly out of the point blank, I gotta say. She's not likely to inherit anything. And from the sound of it, she's probably made enough money as a rogue that that's not really up to her. You know, what the chance she gets any title of money from her parents, she's set for life. Alyssa Chadwick is also rumored to be the Ebon Gotham, which is a thief that has broken into and had access to very secure environments, basically. Yes, it is. Okay. And so she is a possibility. So you know that if they are like staying in the guild and do not have another assignment or something else that they're involved in, for example, then the guild council can basically say, train him. And then if they do that, then they get the fee, but then the guild takes an additional 10% off top of the fee for the assignment, basically. And then there is a discounted price, but they would probably be in the neighborhood of $25,000 to $30,000. And then the guild would get 10% of that, and she would get the rest. She would also not be able to say no. Unless she could argue that she has something else. Okay. Then there is a rogue who has been around for a long time. He's an old season veteran rogue. He serves on the guild council. He's currently on the list of people that could be called upon to train. He is called Old Man Marlowe. He actually is old. He's probably in his early 60s. He's human, but only, or his partner appears to be human anyway, but he's only like 4'5". And so he probably spent his whole life with the whole diminutive joke or whatever like that, but no one in the guild thinks of him that way. He is classic roguish fellow. Like, he's
in the shadows most of the time. He's not outspoken, not flashy. He's not a cat burglar. He's not a, you know, not a con man. He's take it when no one's looking, sneak in. You may deal with some like secrets and things like that, but really probably only as far as it takes to know what the next good mark is, that kind of classic role.
Okay.
And then the last individual is an individual, Everard, also who does not have a surname. And Everard now comes across as a nobleman of sorts. He has somewhere along the lines earned enough money, got enough prowess, something that he gained status in society. So he has a manor outside town. He keeps horses and various animals, servants. He lives wealthy. When he's in town, he conveys himself as an upper social class businessman, basically. He is a member of the guild and currently in residence when your request is made. And all three of them would be about the same payment arrangements. They're going to be in the 25 to 30,000 range, 10% of which will wind up in the guild pockets, and they'll do the drain.
Really just depends as well.
Exactly. You're getting just hints of what you're getting into when you pick any of our teacher. Now, if you get with a certain, any of you, this applies to everybody. If you go with the teacher and say day in or 2 days in, whatever, you're not liking how it's going, you're having, you know, find out this guy's actually evil or they're, you know, not really putting any effort into it, you can back out and still seek a different trainer. That is an option. But basically, you're just getting a feel for who they are up front, and then I'll let you know if something like that develops. Otherwise, you're just going to finish trying to get whatever benefits from it if there are any. So, but those three are different in the fact that Alyssa seems more along the lines of a cat burglar type, deep acrobat type kind of thing, whereas Boldman Marlowe is classic rogue all the way up. Obviously been around a long time and probably been doing this long enough to know some things. And then Everard is more like, whether he's a confidence man or whatever, he's the guy that he'll look you in the eye while your fortunes are dwindling away and your bank account numbers are going up kind of thing. And then there's also a possibility of going completely illicit, which is to say going out on the street finding somebody. The difficulty there is, first of all, you would pay more. You won't get the guild discount. Secondly, if you pay SE 40 or 50,000 gold, sometimes you might poke a bear that doesn't stop coming for your fortune.
So I think
no honor among these.
It's between the little girl and the old man.
Okay.
The llama is all his time.
Right. If she's more applicable to his style of thievery, but the guy has been around forever, probably has more.
He's human. Is he really that old?
Well, he's old compared to my rope career. Doesn't matter, rope though.
But he is. It's unlikely that he has experienced the New York rise that you have. The other thing, too, is you realize after the fact, with, like, old man Marlowe, assuming he doesn't die of old age, which is super possible, he could die from an enemy or something like that, he might be a good person to have. He actually might die. And that regards the girl, she comes across more as a solo flyer, ish, just malcontent kind of thing, so she's not going to die. Ally, although if you need her to do something or gave her a lean on a great wealth or something like that, she probably would capitalize on it. And with Everard, he's gonna have connections in high life. Not sure what it's gonna be other than just enjoying living. Not sure what his motivations are there. Marlowe consents to your training, is able to begin either the next day or 6 days later, whichever you want to do. You have to do your fire training first. He's not leaving, which is another thing. On a side note, you will find out that after the fact that several days later that Alyssa Chadwick becomes unavailable. So had she not begun to train you right away and finished in 5 days and then become unavailable, it might not have worked out. But that was probably a good choice. Everard also basically lives right on the level. But old man Marlowe does consent to your training. It'll be 25,000, of which he will get 25.
Why don't you think I have the gold that I've written down on?
Figure that out.
I have the number.
Okay. All right. And
So Tommy doesn't have to do this right now. So
For the record, I'm doing the pre-training first.
Okay.
Because I have.
Oh, okay. That's a good call.
Okay.
So he'll start you training the next day, assuming all is well after your assassin is gone. All right. So the party was planning on meeting back at the inn after their forays to go after training, which you have successfully lined up trainers. Everybody knows where they'll be training and with whom beginning the next day, correct? Didn't miss anybody? Okay. All right. So when the time comes, if I ask you details, you'll have at least enough so you can jog my memory, although I think I have most of it. Diem tells you that the deal that he is aware of was supposed to go down between 8 and 9 at a warehouse in the merchant district. He knows the location. What do you do?
Bad information. I don't think any amount of overcautiousness will save us from that. Say, let's go crush them and be done with this whole mess.
So don't go in sword swinging?
No, do go in sword swinging. Make sure that we properly identify who we're cutting into ribbons first, and then cut them into ribbons. If we...
Well, how do we properly identify them?
I mean, we have many ways.
Properly identify them and find out where they're going to try to kill us.
Right. Of course they're going to try to kill us. What happens when you try to kill somebody?
Do you know for sure that they're assassins?
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Okay. And these are the assassins trying to...
Yes.
Or at least trying to get someone else to kill you.
Yes.
That's what he said before. Check out Things Were Different Back Then, the origin story of Lord Victor, told from a certain point of view.
Did you try to reach out to any of us before?
No.
If you knew they were in town until now, until they went to the pit taxes.
Right.
This is the red.
DM the red.
Oh, okay. Yeah. DM the red.
So, from like a mage, right?
I play, is that a misspeak? Because I got that letter in the mailbox.
So
I got a letter from his. With his name on it saying that there's something going on, I should be we should be cautious.
No, that's not a misspeak. He says he did not be cautious. The group people. You asked him, he said
okay. Well, it's strange because I got a letter in my mailbox at the guild hall from you telling us to be careful and watch our backs.
I'll
actually produce the letter and hand it to Missouri.
Is it in your handwriting?
So, suspicious activity involving one or more of your companions. I'll be in touch. Watch your back in the back meantime. Watch your back in the back in the meantime.
That's weird.
Right on.
I just misspelled this 3 times. It's terrible.
Anyway, the work trip. Waiting for him to study handwriting.
His handwriting. He's like, I don't think this is mine.
There's an archery tournament.
Okay. That's not a figure.
2 weeks. I like that Air Force Dome crowd. Say the first place prize is somewhere around 20,000 gold pieces and an arrow of red dragon slaying.
Just archery?
That's all I've heard about. But there could be other things going on. I'm not sure, festival or what. Just someone I'm trying to be with for some training. Don't worry about it. I can ask around. See if there's other companies.
Certainly be intriguing.
I require 2 weeks of training in the city.
Such a horrible texture.
Like
I work. I left the last syllable off, and then I just texted the last syllable.
I'm making a breakthrough in my archery, so
I believe most of us are making breakthroughs.
That's important because it's been a few years since I feel like I've gotten much better archery wise.
I feel like I'm going to grow stronger.
Yes, I think we'll all find ourselves a bit better off on the other side. But that assumes that we don't get interrupted.
What does the letter say?
Suspicious activity with one of your allies. Watch your back.
Perfect. It was...
I only died.
It was signed with your name, character's name, and said, tonight during... suspicious activity involving one or more of your companions. I will be in touch. Watch your back. I'm assuming it means in the meantime. Or is there a typo?
What does it actually say?
Watch your back in the back meantime.
Touch your back.
Kind of like touch your face in the face.
You never know, because it could be a typo or it could be like a secret.
Yeah, it's a little weird. I can't imagine. I think it was an accident. Yeah.
It was probably like the little suggestion.
Yeah.
Or it's in the back. Anyway, so this isn't your handwriting.
No. Perhaps it's very terrible tend to go between
that maybe trying to create suspicion between us.
Is there any way we can verify that?
Too much today. Trust me. You, when did you receive this letter?
It was in my mailbox. I got it today.
What do you think, Bill?
Go!
Bill's impatient.
I'm going to just wait till you're done with 10 days of training.
He's a real impatient guy for the water.
After you twiddle things, you feel like it's a valid letter.
It's definitely a letter. I think that, but the question is, who sent it? And whether we have each other. Well, but the letter is suggesting that we should be wary of each other. I don't think that we should be worried about that.
I will attempt to disbelieve whatever it is.
Roll a D20.
The guy standing in front of me.
What if this guy's not real?
Dude, that'd be crazy. I'd be surprised.
Like. He's looking at you, kind of like giving you the evil eye. Like
18. He's facing resistance.
Nope. He's still there.
Can you imagine? You made this whole character sheet for him just being an illusion.
That would be awesome. Someday. Real.
I mean, until.
It seems real.
Until Bezor died, there was another Jake running around, so. He seemed perfectly
sentient. Well, and we happen to have a fairly powerful illusionist ally who could be partaking in suspicious activity in the city, so...
That's fair. He is in the city, right?
Yeah, this is the place. In fact, he could have hired this group to...
It was actually mentioned that the part of the reason why they assassinated...
Wasn't he evil last week?
So his clones are evil.
So
he is neutral.
Part of the reason why... this assassin's guild is believed to be hunting you guys is to kind of get back the equal portion of the person who's playing against Iowa. That's part of the reason why the
clone
starts.
Yeah. So,
Bezor got the clone
thing. Bezor got the clone thing. The portion.
Last we knew, we'd taken out the last clone.
Yeah, but he could have friends in the city.
The last major clone, like the pretender, the guy that was like close to the same as him. But you know, there were many lesser clones, whether any of them would have enough power to do anything.
Force in the second.
Although, if they can't come at you straight with delusion, then they're coming at you via assassin if they had the resources. Would be outside their
possibility. Or if their friends are whoever hired them is responsible for them
besides
the person.
So, first part again?
Like, whoever's responsible for them, like, outside the person.
Right.
Someone else. Possibly. They make friends with someone else.
Yes. Well, so, for those of you who are politically sensitive, you realize that there's a bit of a hotbed of intrigue in Greyhawk in general. And so, you know that Forsen had previously said that he had managed to stay out of the governmental intrigue and everything like that by running the asylum. That was kind of his thing. Like, they just left him alone because he was kind of the only one who could do what he did. That much was told to you previously. But while they left him alone, he got into cloning himself, and then that got out of control. Maybe that wasn't for the best. That might not have been for the best, is the point. But the point was, he had managed to stay out of the intrigue, generally speaking, but then you brought a lot of attention to the asylum during that period of time. That might have cast him back into it, so there could be another person that in there that you've offended. Mostly this... Diem's suggestion was to bring you into find out who they are, what they're doing. It's not like go kill them. He never suggested you should go kill them, but to bring you into conflict with them enough to find out who they are and what next steps might be.
So if I were to
check out The Moment Blood Bowl wherever you buy books. This is written by Pastor Daniel Stevenson, the longtime author and game master of Low Moon Adventures.
I'd say leave the room and cast a sending to what's his name, DM the Red or whatever it is. If he's not the real DM the Red, it would go to the real DM the Red.
Correct. As long as he doesn't believe he's the real DM the Red, we would believe. Yeah. Gotcha.
What if there was two?
Then it would go to the one that you intended. By your intention.
That's right.
So if you intended the other, it would go to the other. It's a pretty good way to catch somebody in a disguise if you know the person that they're disguised as. I'm crafty.
I think I'm going to do that.
Stop a second.
Okay.
Give me 10 minutes.
So he goes out of the room, runs and leaves the room. Meanwhile, there is a drinking game going on the other side of the tavern, and it gets a little out of control.
Is it near the statue?
Yeah.
It starts to get kind of loud. What?
Is it near the statue of the guy? The stone statue of the guy that destroyed.
So they have moved the stone statue.
He's killing hobgoblins.
Which is still on the red. Too creepy.
Really weird going for
Hard fight.
He really annihilated the leader of the first gang that we fought. Some of the high strengths.
Rule of 20.
Nine.
Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.